in heaven, we will never need to stop talking with each other and encouraging each other and praising the Lord together. It will never stop. But right now, it's time to think about something special. What are we going to think about today? The topic today is something that many Christians don't think about very much at all, if ever. Not in the way we're going to talk about it. Meditation and obedience. And the idea is that if we do it correctly, the way God prescribes, meditation will lead to obedience. That's the main idea here. But what is meditation? What is it? Even though the Bible talks about meditation, I couldn't find any verses that directly said meditation will result in obedience. Not directly. But there are many references to both in the same passages. And we'll talk about some of those. But what is meditation? What do you think about when you hear this word? The Chinese word is mo dao. Does anybody know that in Chinese? Would you learn this in Chinese classes? Probably not. When was the last time you practiced meditation? What kind of meditation were you practicing? In America, meditation has become a kind of catchphrase, a kind of popular thing to do, or to desire to do, whether they actually do it or not. But the kind of meditation many Americans are thinking about is not found in the Bible. What about you? What's your idea of meditation? Right? Eastern religions promote meditation. Hope maybe you've heard about this, right? Hindu, Buddhism, Sikhs, even Islam promotes meditation. But what kind? Why do people want to meditate? Anybody in the world. Why? Right? Wikipedia says that meditation is achieving a mentally clear and emotionally stable state. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm from the state of Washington. I didn't know there was a state of mental stability to live in. But yet, that is quite appropriate. People around the world are not looking for a place that's stable to live in. They're looking for a mindset that's stable. They're looking for emotional quiet, for emotional stability. And right now in the world, it's hard to find that. Every time you look at the news, there goes the quiet of the heart. There goes the quiet of the mind. You go, oh, what's happening in this world? So how can we achieve a quietness of spirit? How can we achieve a calmness of mind? Well, the Eastern religions say, we want to transcend our circumstances and get out of our situation by removing from our mind all the clutter of this life. Right? So what do they recommend? Find a quiet place. Sit with your legs folded up in a very uncomfortable position. Uncomfortable for me anyway. Apparently for some people it's not. And empty your mind. How easy is that? Not very easy. I don't know about you, but I never have an empty mind. I'm always thinking about something. And yet they promote this. Empty your mind. Get rid of everything. Just open your mind right up and just let everything out and just be nothingness there. And that will help you to rise above all the clutter and the busyness of the earth and the problems of this life, right? And you'll become peaceful inside and reach nirvana, whatever that is. They're a version of heaven, I guess, or something like that. To transcend, to get above and beyond the things of this world. But the Bible warns us that this could be quite dangerous. If you look in the Bible, it talks about meditation, but not in that way. All right? Right now, many people want to get into this idea of relaxing their mind and not being anxious about things. But how does the Bible say we might achieve such a thing? If you look in, you know, why should we as Christians meditate? Because the Bible actually tells us we should meditate. But why? Well, if you look in Joshua, in chapter 1, and verses 8 and 9, it says, Joshua is talking to the people of Israel. He says, "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it." I see. There's this implication that by meditating, we'll be able to do, that is, obey what the law says, right? So we're directed by God to meditate. When was the last time you did? When was the last time I did? When I received this idea that I should be talking about this today, I'm going, wow, I better study up because I'm not sure what they're talking about. I have read these verses, but I never really looked into it. I never meditated on these verses. Ah, that's the key, huh? So, meditating, according to this, helps us focus on God's word, God's law, God's directions. Right? If you don't focus on a map, how do you know where you're going? If we don't focus on God's word, how do we know what we're supposed to obey? Right? And it says that we will be blessed. Right? Have I not commanded you, it says? Well, no, just back up there a little bit more. Then, if you meditate and do what it says, you will be prosperous and successful. Does this always mean money? I think we're talking spiritually here, emotionally, right? Although he was talking physically for the children of Israel at that time. Also, it says, have I not commanded you? Again in verse 9. Wow, you must do this. It's not an option. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. Your Lord, your God, will be with you wherever you go. And in order to remind us that He is with us, thus, meditate on His word day and night. But a lot of things get in the way of this kind of directive. You've probably noticed that it's not easy to think about God's word day and night. Because as soon as you leave church, even before you do, you're talking with friends. Oh, where are you going for lunch? Oh, what exams do you have coming up this coming week? How's your thesis doing? Oh, don't bring that up. That'll take you back into a bad place. The pressures of this life, whether you're a student, a business person, a teacher, or some other worker, a grandparent, a son or a daughter going to school, the pressures of this life and the demands of this life oftentimes command so much attention that we forget about meditating on God's word. And you say, well, I have my quiet time. I have bad news for you all. That's not enough, according to God. That won't do it. Why? Because then we can say, well, when should we meditate and where should we go to do it? Look in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And verses 4 to 9. This should shock you. It did me. I mean, I've read these verses before, but not thinking about it in this way. So what does it say? Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Oh, well, okay, we can agree with that, right? But then what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Oh, hey, we've heard that before. But here's a new twist. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Okay, yes, I need to internalize all these things. How? Impress them on your children. All right? If you don't have children, you may someday remember this. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Uh-oh. Not just a quiet time. When you do your devotions. Okay? Your prayer time. Wow, I mean, this sounds like it's going to take up a lot more of my time than I was planning on. More time than I was planning on. How about you? Huh? Is that a little bit of a shock to you? It says, tie them as symbols on your hands. You notice something? I don't even wear a wedding ring on my hand. I hate things on my hands. I don't wear a watch. Ugh, it just gets in the way. Bugs me. And yet, that's what it says. Bind them on your foreheads. I think it's a burden enough to have my glasses up here, sliding down all the time. I keep having to push them back up. To put something there with words of God on my forehead would really bother me. How about you? What was the last time you did that? Probably never. That's what it says. It's in the Bible. Right there. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. And I'm going, wow, that's very Chinese. Or in various other cultures in the East. What do? They put words on the door frames of their houses. And I know some Christians here, locally, who put God's words on the door frames of their houses. Not just Happy New Year. When was the last time you took a magic marker or something and wrote scripture verses on the door frames of your house? Inside, outside? I've never done that. I'm a bad man. God has been telling me to do this since I was a little boy, and I've never done it yet. Oh no. What have I been doing with my life? No wonder it's been so hard to obey God's word. I haven't been following the prescription that God gives to help me do that, right? To obey correctly. The interesting thing is this. Where I'm living right now, there are scriptures on the door and on the walls. I didn't even know I was going to talk about this when I first came here several weeks ago. But God knew, and he was preparing me. And when I first walked in the door, I go, wow, somebody wrote on the door? Somebody wrote on the walls? How are they going to clean it off? That was my first reaction. That would be messy. Not according to this. It's a good thing. Right? So this gives us an idea, some of the, what's involved with meditating God's way. Day and night, morning, evening, when you're walking, when you're sitting down. Well, I prayed before I eat. Is that enough, God? No, I don't think so. That's not what they're talking about. Come to think of it, what's the difference between praying and meditating? What's the difference? I mean, the scripture also directs us to pray without ceasing. Oh, wait a minute. If I'm supposed to be meditating all this during all this time throughout the day, won't that kick prayer out the window and put it aside? Oh, sorry, God, I can't pray. I'm meditating. What's the difference between prayer and meditation? Well, prayer is a two-way street where we're communicating with God and God's communicating with us. Right? But meditation is more one way, where we're focusing on God and His Word exclusively. We're just really thinking about, what does this mean for me? How can I do what He says? How can I take His words and make them permanent thing in my mind so that I never forget them and so that they're always directing my path? Right? This is so different from the way the world views meditation. Instead of emptying the mind, God wants us to put His word in the mind and keep it there. The Chinese have this interesting phrase. They call it top of mind. Have you ever heard that? Top of mind. It's something I've seen written on some different things, including toilet paper. Toilet tissue. Yeah. They like to put little interesting English phrases on various things. They probably have no idea what it means, but they think it sounds important. Top of mind. But that's really what God is saying here. He wants us to keep His word top of mind. Right? There, in front of our mind's eye. Continually, throughout the whole day. Because what could happen if we really empty our minds and don't put something in that's good? We should get rid of the bad. But what if we don't put something good in its place? Well, if you read in Philippians, not Philippians, which one is it? Oh, Matthew 12, verse 43 and 45. It warns us a little bit what might happen if we empty our minds completely. All right? 12:43. It says, when an evil spirit comes out of a man, and here we can put in there the cares of this world, the worries of life, anything that's cluttering our mind up and keeping us from thinking about God. Right? Well, the evil spirit goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Your thoughts might leave your mind temporarily, right? But then what happens? But then it says, the evil spirit says, I will return to the house I left, and when it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean, and put in order. So here I am meditating in the Eastern religion way. I've emptied my mind completely. I'm feeling at peace. Actually, probably feeling nothing at all. And then I get up and I go out into the world, and even more thoughts bombard my mind than were in it before. And I get filled up even more with anxieties, with worries, with concerns, with what shall I do now? Who knows? Right? So it says the evil spirit in this case, or our thoughts sometimes, take with it seven other spirits, or even worse thoughts, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that man is worse than the first. And he says, that's how it will be with this wicked generation. As a counselor, a mental health counselor, I have been observing that in the last 5 years, more and more and more people are more and more and more upset about everything and anything, big, small. It's just people are on edge all the time. People are upset all the time. People are worried, confused, anxious. Most of the time, they don't even know why. Of course, if you just watch the news, you'll know something why. But life just, it's hard to handle these days. So, we don't want to empty our minds without putting something good in. So I call that the replacement principle. The replacement principle. This is God's way. In Philippians chapter 4 and verses 8 and 9, it says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Right? And then he goes on to say, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, this is Paul talking, or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. You want peace? Hey, there's the formula right there. Think on these things. Replace the worry and the upset and the not knowing where you're going with God's words. Replacement principle. Don't just leave it blank and empty, or worse things will come into your mind. Put in God's words. And that will bring you the peace that the world is looking for. Okay? That, if you have any friends or relatives or classmates who come to you with anxieties or worries, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, give them this formula. Right? It's all about the mind and what we put in it and what we take out first and then put good things in, right? Out with the bad, in with the good. All right. So, the ultimate goal is not an empty mind, but greater obedience. Right? Greater obedience. Psalm 1. Let's go all back here. The Psalms, they have some good stuff in them, you know. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Right? Don't get advice from people who don't know where they're going, or you'll end up going the same place they are. Nowhere. Blessed is a man who does not stand in the way of the sinners. Right? Don't go with people to places that are not good for you, where you can be tempted to do wrong things. Don't sit in the seat of mockers. If somebody's making fun of somebody else, are you going to agree with them? Go, ha, yeah, yeah, that's good. Oh, no, don't do that. But his delight, the blessed man and the woman's delight, is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he and she meditates day and night. Ooh. Do you ever think about that when you read those? I mean, you've probably heard these verses before. But it really hit me when I was studying for this. I'm going, wow, I don't do that. Something's wrong here. Something's got to change. If I'm going to do this correctly, I've got to get a whole new perspective on this meditation thing in the Bible. Right? So, another chapter in Psalms that just has meditation just all through it, and obedience both, is Psalm 119. I've read this before, but after meditating on it, suddenly my eyes are more open. I'm going, wow, I didn't realize that in the Psalm 119, it mentions meditate 8 times. But there are other words besides meditate that could also mean the same sort of thing. It talks about seeking to do God's word, will, hiding the word in my heart, delighting in the law, okay? Just all these things, it's crazy. Look at them. If you look at a lot of the verses, you'll see these things, right? Keep from wandering, right? Delight in, okay, longing for, that's right, that's the other one. Longing for something, right? All these have to do with desiring the word to be inside of me and part of my life. And then there's the obedience part. A lot of these verses talk about obedience. Obedience and obey, and some form of obedience or obey is listed 19 times in Psalm 119. Should be easy to remember. 19, 19, obey. Even more than meditate. But then there's other words for obey also that are very similar, right? Means the same thing. For example, do. That's pretty direct. Do it. Right? Like Nike says, just do it. Walk in his ways. Keep his commandments. Do not wander from the path. Do not forget his precepts. Choose. It's a choice. You know, doing God's way is not something that's going to happen naturally. Sorry. You don't get it by osmosis. You have to choose it. Cling to God's word. Run to God's word. Be established in God's word. Establish it in your heart, in your mind. All throughout chapter 119 in Psalms, there's these phrases, right? Over and over and over and over. They say these same things many different ways and in different combinations. So my challenge to you is, your homework, the first thing I want you to meditate on is this psalm. Really analyze it. Really look at it. Read it over and over. Put it on the doorpost of your house. Write it on the backs of your hands or their palms. Have somebody write it on your forehead. Or maybe on a piece of paper with a tape or something. I don't know. I'm not sure how, you know, it was said you're supposed to put these things on your forehead. I'm not sure how they do that. But let's get creative, okay? There's got to be some way. If nothing else, if you have something on your forehead and you're walking around In Xiamen, Jimei, Shang'an, Haitang, Xinling, if you're in your classes or going to eat out in a restaurant or someplace, and people see this thing on your forehead or something on your hand with something written on it, do you think maybe they'll go, "What is that? Why do you do that? Do you wonder why nobody asks you what you believe? Maybe you look too much like them. Maybe if we looked a little different, we might get some inquiries. People might actually get up away from their phone and go, "What is that?" It might actually be more interesting than what they're looking at on their phone. Oh, that would be something. Used to be, I would get on the bus and all eyes would turn to look at me. Whoa! Da Hunze! Now, I get on the bus, on the metro. I could be an elephant about to step on them. They wouldn't even notice. But maybe, if we do as the Bible says, and have God's word on our hands and on our foreheads, we might get a little attention. And then have people ask us, "What is it?" And we could bear witness to what we believe. And we're not going out there handing out tracts, because if they ask first, it's okay. All right. So, these things, meditate on. That's your assignment. Okay? Meditate. Let's pray right now and ask God to show us more what it means to really meditate on His words. Not just read through the Bible. Okay, I did my reading today. I read my 3 verses today. Now on to bigger and better things. No. There's nothing bigger and better than God's word. And it leads us to following it. What's the use of reading it if you're not going to follow it? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I confess that I have not been meditating on your word properly. For years I've been a Christian and I've not done it. Please forgive me. I wonder why it's so hard to follow your word, to obey everything in it. But here's the key, and now I'm glad you showed this to me today. Open each of our eyes to see how important meditation is when trying to obey your commands. Show us how to do it. Inspire us by your Holy Spirit. Help us remember to focus on you day and night, coming and going, sitting down, eating, sleeping, even sleeping. Put your words in our dreams, in our visions. Help us, if we have children, to talk about it continually with them too, with our neighbors, our friends, our classmates, co-workers, family members. We want to obey you, Father. We want to learn how to meditate because you command it. Thank you for opening our eyes. Draw us closer to you through meditation of your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.